Jesus. Well, Brother Watson, he goes down this back and he called me and asked me to minister tonight. And I tell you what, I just want to follow what I feel like the Lord wants me to do. That is to, I'm going to teach tonight rather than preach.
Come on.
I like to teach. A lot about my early background when I first came to God. After leading worship service for a while, they put a Sunday school book in my hand. Pastor put a Sunday school book in my hand and said, I want you to teach the young adults. And so that was when I got my first taste of it.
Yes, sir.
And I've always enjoyed teaching the Word of God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. The church in Georgia where we came from, I taught a fair amount there too. And I just enjoy, the one thing I like about teaching that's different from preaching is you can take a little more time.
Come on.
And you can just kind of break down scriptures a little bit more detail than what you can with preaching.
Yep.
So I love the Word of God, and I love to break it down and talk about how good God is in His Word. And we can so much glean, so much that it's really, I was talking to Brother Watson about it, matter of fact, Sunday. It's amazing how much is in the Word of God that we can't even pick it up, all of it, but yet God is so good that He keeps giving. You know how it is. You hear somebody take a topic or take a verse of Scripture, and you think, man, they exhausted that. They wrung every bit that you could possibly run. Just wrung it till they wrung it dry. You just convinced there was nothing left to get out of it. And you hear somebody preach on it again, and you go, where did they get that from? I thought that one was surely wrung out. I thought they got all they possibly could. But that's just what the Word of God is, my friend. It's powerful.
Amen.
Praise God. It's powerful and right. It's alive. I want to turn your attention to the book of Genesis chapter 4. So, to me, it's fun to teach the Word of God. Let's have a little fun. What do you say tonight?
Amen.
Genesis chapter 4. Old Testament. Start there. Start there. You'll catch up. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought the fruit of the ground, an offering unto the Lord. And Abel also brought the firstlings of the flock and the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel unto his offering, but unto Cain to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, thou shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Verse 9, what I want to talk about is the opening place. Not the exact topic, but the opening place I want to begin. Verse 9 says this. And the Lord said unto Cain, where is Abel thy brother? And he said, I know not. And then he said this, am I my brother's keeper? Brother Danny Swan, would you lead us to the throne in prayer tonight?
Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to gather in your name to hear your word. Lord, open our understanding, our ears, our heart, our spirits, to receive this, dear God. Lord, your word is alive. Your word is dynamic. It is the bread of life.
Praise God.
Lord, we ask that you just feed us.
Thank you, Lord.
Strengthen us, nourish us with your word, with your spirit. We'll give you praise and honor and glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you. You may be seated. It seems like to me that one of the hardest things in the world that you and I can seemingly do is take this scripture and the full weight of it adequately enough. And I think partly because the significance of it, the weight of it, and then you begin to just think about it. There's something about all of us in humanity, we don't like responsibility for our own self. I mean, come on, let's just be real. It's hard enough to think about taking accountability for my own self, but I'm supposed to take accountability for others too. It's something that does not appeal to the flesh, that's for sure. It doesn't appeal to our senses. We don't want any more on this right than what we possibly would want to ever bear. So the challenge that's put here when the Lord said this to Cain, it was a powerful, weighty thing that would go beyond that particular instance and that particular situation, and it would go all the way through time.
Amen.
Because see, we understand that the Word of God says this: "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart." But it didn't stop there, right?
Right.
"And thou shalt love thy neighbor." You mean it shows up again? I gotta love my neighbor. I'm responsible for my neighbor. Mm-hmm. I'm responsible. God has made me accountable.
Brother Morgan.
Yes.
I got a neighbor that God sent my way.
Mm-hmm.
He's a challenge.
Yes.
And my flesh wants to rise up.
Yes.
My carnal mind thinks of terrible things. I mean, his house is beautiful. He's an artist. He's a gifted craftsman. And I used to have the nicest house in the neighborhood, and then hurricanes kind of changed that for me.
Yeah.
And now he's moved in, and he's the centerpiece of the neighborhood. So my flesh just reels. And the evil thoughts rise up. Well, why don't I just toilet paper his house come Halloween, and he won't even know who did it? And I have to repent every day. The Holy Ghost talks to me and says, "And such were some of you."
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
And
that's right.
I may be trying to live right now, but I didn't always.
Right.
I didn't know the Word. I wasn't faithful.
Right.
And so God has sent my neighbors to challenge me. And the very Scripture, "If you do well, won't you be accepted?"
Right.
Well, you know what? I can't argue with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Yeah.
I got my hands full.
That's it. Right. And then many of us have been in exactly what you're talking about. We've been tried by people, and we find that challenge by the Lord to love your neighbor as yourself, we might as well come clean. We're not going to do that. Let's be honest. We're not going to do that in our flesh.
That's right.
There's just no way we can measure up. But here's why he's going to hold us accountable. Because we have Christ in us, the hope of glory, and he enables us to do what we cannot do in our own.
Amen.
Come on, that's the truth.
Yeah.
You'll be able to do things that you thought you would never be able to do. Love people you thought you would never be able to love. But it's by the love of God shed abroad in our hearts, by the Holy Ghost. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
And that's the only way we're going to get the job done, too. Because the Church of the Living God, we're not going to be able to do it by our fleshly abilities. But it's not by might, and it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. That's how we're going to get the victory. That's how we're going to be successful in our walk with God. When the world says you cannot be, when your flesh tells you cannot be, when the religious world tells you might as well hang it up, you might as well be like everybody else. Oh no, we're not going to take that attitude. We're not going to take that attitude.
Amen.
Now, look at St. Luke chapter 15. I'm sounding a little louder myself. I don't know if it's me or
just you
responding. Okay. St. Luke 15, verse 8. Let's go up to verse 7. "Likewise, I say unto you, likewise, joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over the 99 just persons which need no repentance." Now, let me tell you tonight that one of the reasons why I'm teaching on the topic that I'm teaching is because of the fact that God will not let me get away from this thing about trying to reach out to people that are backsliders.
Yep.
You remember what we've made a special effort.
Amen.
We put names in the box. We're trying to make a special effort. And so I felt directed of the Lord to minister along this line tonight and to encourage us, to talk to us a little bit more about how we can be effective. I don't know about you, but I want to be effective in the kingdom of God.
Yes.
It's not enough just to be a participant, Brother Brad. I want to be effective in my ministry for God. I want to help people. I want to minister to people.
Yes.
And so to do so, I've got to understand everything that the Lord teaches in His Word. Because it's through His Word that we can gain an understanding and a knowledge.
Amen.
Of the things that we need to be effective. Because I'm not going to be effective on my own. I don't have the ability to do it. Now verse 8 says, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently until she find it?
Yep.
Question mark. And when she had found it, she forgot it.
Nope.
And when she had found it, now I want to know how many of you have ever done this? Because I've never done this. Have you ever found something in the house that you thought was forever gone?
Yep.
Well, I know you've done that. I have too. But hear me out. And when you found it, let's say you found a couple of dollars that you were missing or you run across them in the house. How many of you called all your neighbors and said, "Hey, come on over, we're going to have a party"? I've never done it. I've found stuff plenty of times. But I have never caught. The Bible says that when she found it, she called her friends and her neighbors together saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost." So that tells me it's not an ordinary situation. It's not your average situation, but yet He chooses the ordinary and the average to show us something brilliant and powerful and weighty. And that is the fact that this woman lost something, and when she lost it, she did something. She swept that house until she found it. And that's the thing that we must understand about our God, is that we can absolutely be lost. First, the thing we need to gather, there's many things to be gained from this, but one of the first things we need to gather from it is the Bible says this coin was lost in the house. Now, whether you want to recognize it or you don't want to recognize it, the truth of the matter is that in every church and every place, you will find that there are people that are lost, not out in the world, but they're lost in the house. They're lost in the house of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Wow.
You know, we think about, oh, I want to reach out to that backslider at home that I can't seem to get them to come to church. I can't seem to get through to them, but that's the only hope is to reach them. No, there's a field working right here.
Yeah.
There's a field working. I promise you, there's somebody lost in this house.
Amen.
They might want to not recognize it. You might not recognize it. But the one thing that I will tell you is, it is the will of God for you to be able to effectively reach them as being lost in the house. Now the Bible said that she swept the house and she swept it diligently till she found it.
Now I decided that I would create a visual today. And so I work on this broom. I want you to take a good look at that broom.
Yeah, good look at that.
It's going to be quite a while.
It took you a long time.
See, wore it out. It took me a while.
Wore it out.
You see what this broom is like? You see what the... Do you have any idea of the effectiveness of this broom?
None now.
I mean, my Lord, this broom, how much work can you really do
with this room.
Well, you got to clean the same door up several times.
Do what?
Show that camera so they can see it. What
did you say, sweep the same spot several times?
Let me tell you something. We laugh and it is fun. It's crazy. It's crazy the amount of time I spent getting this thing into this shape. But I did it for a reason. And the reason why is because I want to, I like visuals. And I believe you do too, probably. What is it? Oh, my God. I'm sorry.
I like visuals, and I believe you probably do too. And they help us to get a picture, right? They help us to get a clear picture. Today, I want you to visualize this maybe in a different way that you've ever thought about. But the Bible said that, it's talking about she swept. And I believe with all of my heart that we have an active part. See, when we look at that scripture, we see it as God. We can see the woman being tied in what she did to God. We can see how God works on people's heart. He'll come into a service and he will start talking to people.
Yes.
The Spirit of the Lord will begin to move.
Thank you, Lord.
And we know that they get under the hearing of the preached word of God. And so we can understand and we can relate it to that. But I fear that that's as far as we take it. But I'm here to challenge you today that there's more to that than this. And I'm going to use this broom hopefully to illustrate that. You see, the broom handle, I believe, can be a representative of the Word of God. And you know why? It's because the fact that it's stable. It's stable, and look, you cannot change the shape of this. I mean, you could obviously break it. But other than that, it's what it is. Let me tell you something about the Word of God. It's not going to change. It's forever settled in heaven. It's rigid. It's what it is. And you cannot change it. You cannot change it. If we don't have the Word, without God's Word, we can't reach people. We have nothing to reach them with.
That's right.
But when you put the third component, where my challenge comes into you today, is in that third component. Because I missed something. I told you that the Lord, I talked about movement before. You see, when you sweep something, you have three main things, right? See if you agree with me. You got the bristles, you got the broom handle, but it don't do no good if you don't have movement.
Amen. Amen.
All right.
It don't do any good if you don't have movement. So what happens is, how does the movement occur? Where does that come in? Well, when the Spirit of the Lord moves in service, it provides movement with the solid and unchangeable Word of God.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
But again, we have a problem. I'm just being real with you. You gonna let me be real with you?
Amen.
The problem is that we understand that there is a broomstick. We understand that there's a Word of God. We understand that the Spirit don't move. Nothing's going to happen.
Sure.
But we forget this part right here. We forget bristles. Wonder who the bristles are. We are represented by the bristles. And the effectiveness of this broom is only as good as the bristles.
Right.
Because it doesn't, God's trying to do great things in the land. He's trying to do great things with this church.
Amen.
The question, can we produce something? Can we come together as bristles?
clean sweep.
And can we? That's because what we're supposed to be doing, we're supposed to be sweeping. Now let me talk about that a few minutes. But first, let me take you to the scripture. All right, let's look at Galatians 6. We'll come back to that thought. Galatians chapter 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself also, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Now, to understand that, to me, one of the greatest condemnations that can come about when we don't do what we're supposed to do is found in this. Because it said, ye which are spiritual. What does it say to us? If you are a spiritual person, you are supposed to be actively involved. Come on, Russell. You're supposed to be actively involved in trying to help those that are no longer part of the household of faith.
Amen.
They're overtaken in a fault. They're overtaken in a sin. And it tells bad things about our true spirituality. Let's just be real. If we're not trying to help people that are overtaken by sin and in their faults, it's one of the greatest true measures of our spirituality. Our true spirituality. Because let's be honest, what we typically measure our spirituality is, do I come to church? Do I lift my hands? Do I give faithfully? And all those things are just our reasonable service. I'm talking about true spirituality. True spirituality speaks or seeks to do the will of God. Jesus said, I've come to do what the Father. Not what my flesh wants. And that's what real spirituality is all about. Now look at St. Luke chapter 11. Go back to St. Luke chapter 11. Watch this. Verse 23. Jesus speaking said this, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me. Wow. Lord, help us tonight. That's weighty. That's heavy. Because Jesus said, if you're not gathering with me, you're scattering. You don't have a choice. Either you gather with me, or you don't realize it, but by your inactivity, you're actually scattering. You're actually doing damage because you're not gathering with me. Now, I'm going to go back to the room. You know what's one of the key aspects of what the bristles do? Let's talk about what the bristles do. They gather. The bristles gather together. They gather. So Jesus said, if you're not, you got to gather. I need you to be a bristle. I need you to be a bristle in the work, in my work, and I need you to gather. Here's the problem.
We need more gathering.
If we look like this, we're not going to gather very much.
No.
Now, why are you doing this, Brother Marshall? Because I believe in being challenged and challenging others. We need to step up. We need to understand that we need more people that have the mindset that I want to be a bristle. I've got to be a bristle in God's sweeping efforts. Because it's not enough for Brother Watson to get up here and preach his guts out. And it's not enough for the Spirit of the Lord to move. I need to be a gatherer. And there's some other things that a broom does. A broom produces the cleansing element of getting away everything. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost right here. Out of the way so that the Spirit of the Lord can move. You hear me? We are responsible for the spiritual cleanliness that goes on in this church. I am. You are. And the way we're going to do it is we're not holier than thou. We're prayer warriors. Are we supposed to be? And we're supposed to be people that know how to repent. And if there's anything in our life that needs to be removed so somebody else can be blessed and stirred and we can effectively gather, we're going to do it. Right? Isn't that what we're supposed to do? So we cleanse the place by gathering the things that are not like God and getting them out so that God is able to move among us and God has a clean place to work. It's not, I know this is kind of simplistic, maybe childlike, I don't know, but I really believe that we are supposed to be the bristles, but when you have bristles that look like this, and when we are not together, come on now, when we are not together.
Amen.
It's deep, son. Go ahead.
Hey, I challenge any of you, take this home with you and see how you like it. See how quick you get your floors clean and swept. It's you're gonna be a very frustrated individual. Hey, let's don't frustrate the grace of God. Come on, let's don't frustrate the grace of God. God's made this thing too powerful. In some ways, He's made this thing so easy for us. But He sends the Word of God along to understand, hey, I need you to gather. I need you to have a mindset that I'm going to gather in the house of God. I'm not going to just gather my body. I'm going to gather up my mind. I'm going to gird up the loins of my mind. And I'm going to have an attitude that's reaching out to God.
Yeah.
Now, what's some other ways that we can be a bristle? Be a bristle. And have an effect. Because here's the reason I ask you this. Because we're not all the same. Our abilities are different and varied because we're all different. And the problem with so many people is they can get easily discouraged if they cannot pinpoint what they can do. And they forget, hey, you may not be called on for a lot, but if you can pray and seek the will of God,
come on, yep. That's it.
You're gathering. Yep. Come on. You may not can do anything, but you can be a prayer warrior at the minimum, and you can gather. You can be a bristle that is used. Don't you want to be a bristle? Use that somebody comes to God that's lost, that's away from God, that all they need is they need to be directed in the right direction. And because you come with an attitude of gratitude, and you come with a spirit of seeking after God. Let me tell you something. Let me take this prayer a little further, because obviously there's prayer at home that we should be having in intercession. But I want to ask us today, how mindful are we of people that don't have the Holy Ghost, that need the Holy Ghost? How mindful are we in our prayers of people that need things in their life that puts them in the right direction toward God? Do we only think about those things when we come to the house of God? Or do we think about those things during the course of the week? That's a part of gathering, is to say, Lord, I want you to, I want to be mindful. I want to be thinking because I want to be a gatherer. I want to be mindful to pray for that, those individuals that need you. If they were to die right now, Lord, I don't believe they'd make it. It's my responsibility. It's not just the pastor's responsibility. It's my responsibility, Lord, to be praying for them and get under a burden for them. That's being an intercessor.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But let me change it up a little bit. You see, when you have people come into the house of God, and you see them enter into the house of God, and you know they're not right with God, Brother Danny, we have a responsibility to get under intercession.
Yes, sir.
We need to be praying for them while the service. We need to be mindful of them and pray, God, get a hold of their heart. God, get a hold of their heart. Let this word of God dig deep into them and touch them in a way like they've never been touched in all of their life. We need to. I'm telling you, I had that come on me, and I know you probably have too, where you get under that burden, you feel it. Man, you just feel it. You understand. You're having an effect. Let me tell you, the Bible says the effectual fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much. And when you begin to get under travail and you begin to call out to God, God is hearing your travail. God is hearing your petition. And you are creating an atmosphere of cleanliness. Because you are sweeping out. You're helping them sweep away. You see, they're bound by all kinds of clutter. Come on now. They're bound by all kinds of clutter. And so what you do, you come into their life with intercessory prayer. And you begin to sweep away all that clutter that's stopping them from getting to God.
Amen.
You brush away all that, all of the things of the, on them and on their shoulders. And it's in their path that's keeping them. And you say, well, I can't do that. Yes, you know you can't do it in yourself, but you're appealing to a God that is able to do it. And by even by your faithfulness and petitions to God, you are creating an atmosphere in which they can be touched by the power of God. If we really want to see people come back to God, and I do, in this last day, I believe God wants to save some people that are far away from Him today. And if I just say, preach a little message and it's gone, then what good have I done? But if I can hold fast to the Word of God, if I can say, Lord, I want you to make me that bristle. Because if I can join my bristle to the other somebody else's bristle, when you get the bristles close together, then you can actually have an effect in the house of God.
Right.
So the Bible said that she swept.
Amen.
And then she found.
Yes.
We will never find until we sweep. We will never reach people until our attitude and until our faithfulness to God reaches the point that we diligently. The Bible says she diligently swept. She didn't just, out of a whim. I've done this. You probably have too. You ever done something for God, but you kind of did it on a whim? It wasn't a part of your faithfulness in your life, but you failed to do it, and God honored it. Why? Because He's wanting you to do something, and He's wanting to teach you what He wants to do in your life. But sometimes we just do things out of a whim, and there's nothing wrong with that. But how much greater the impact when we develop a faithfulness to God. Because then we've developed a consistency in our spirituality. You see, that's the thing that I want. I want to develop a consistency always in my true spirituality. Not what you might see on the outside. Because you might look at me on the outside and say that everything's okay when everything's not okay. Only God can judge our hearts. But I want a true spirituality that stays faithful so that when we get into a service, like sometimes we have, and the Spirit of the Lord begins to move, that I am a bristle attached to what God is doing.
Yeah.
as he sweeps this auditorium, as he sweeps this world. Praise God. I'm almost done.
Got one more verse of scripture.
It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 19. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant of all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. And unto them that are under the law, as under the law, I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without the law, being not without the law to God, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak I became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. And this I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be a partaker with you. Brother, I say to you again, this is rigid. It's not going to change. It's forever settled. We can't change it if we wanted to. And if we try to change it, we're going to be damned. But here's the thing that I think a lot of people miss, and I'm going to help you with it right now. I'm going to give each one of you this as a reminder. Same brush. And you say, well, Brother Leon, why would you hand us a whistle as a reminder that I hope you don't forget this that I'm teaching you tonight, number one. But number two, I want to show you something. While the Word of God is inflexible, this is awesome. This is not so. Of the bristle. The bristle is flexible. Now don't get it wrong. Don't get it twisted. I'm not saying we're flexible on doctrine. But Paul said, let me paraphrase Paul. I have become a bristle and flexible. And I have become all things to all men that I might win some. He wasn't under the illusion, Brother Watson, that he would reach everybody. But he said, I've become all things to all men that I might win some. But the only way I'm going to do it, he's teaching us something right here. The only way I'm going to do it is if I become a bristle. The only way I'm going to do it is if I become flexible enough. Now, Brother Swan, you told the story about that individual. And if you're not flexible, you'll never reach it.
Sure.
And we've got a lot of people in our life that I just wonder, just off the top of my head, How many times did we try in the same way, in the same mode, and if they don't respond, we just write it off?
It's true.
And different circumstances, not only different personalities, but you know it. You know it's true. People go through things in their life today, and they view things differently than they will tomorrow. And you have to be flexible enough to be sensitive to where they're at in their life. Thank you. You have to be sensitive enough and flexible enough to reason. I know this has been a real simple. I hope you have something.
Oh, no. Amen. Very good.
But I want us to win the lost. I want us to reach backsliders. And it dawned on me today. I got to thinking about this verse of scripture. If I'm not flexible, if I'm not an active participant, then how is the Lord going to be able to use the sweet and direct people? You see, I have a responsibility, not only by what I say, but by what I do, to direct them in the right direction. I have to be a godly influence on people that don't love God, or seemingly can't find God, or disinterested. And that, to me, is the hardest one of all. I love teaching and preaching, but if I'm teaching and preaching to somebody that's disinterested, it's like, I just want to shut down the thing. I want to go home. That's just human nature. Yeah. Sometimes you got to buck up and you got to say, well, you got to hope that they get something out of it. That happens sometimes. Uh-huh. That you said something that stuck with them, and they didn't act on it then, but it was... It was implanted in the head.
Yeah.
Why don't you stand to your feet? I got a broom for sale. Let's pray. Lord, we need you today. Lord, there's a hunger in the house by some today. I feel it, Lord. We want to be pliable. We want to be used. Lord, there are people that need to be won, and we are those bristles, Lord. Your Spirit moves, but we must be the bristles that direct them in the right way, that we clear their path, that we help them, that we minister them, that we touch them. I pray in the name of the Lord that you would take this simple lesson. Would you bless and help it in our minds and our spirits? Would you challenge me? Would you challenge this congregation, oh God? That we might grow in you and be found faithful workers unto your name. I pray it in the name of Jesus. Lord, bless you for your great attentiveness. I have enjoyed teaching you the word of the Lord.
Amen.